Worship this morning. Thank you. We have so many family members and folks that are with us today visiting, and we are honored by your presence. I want to say thank you to David Zimmerly and Sid Heffington and their families that were part of bringing our cinnamon rolls and mom's Mother's Day time. And if you hadn't had a chance to do a picture out front, a great opportunity for a family shot there and a beautiful little setup there. But want to say again, thank you so much for being here. And we are honored by your presence. Look forward to our study today and being together. And so, Larry, go ahead and advance that slide for us. Looking forward to continuing. You didn't know that Santa Claus was one of our elders. Jerry Elder. Eli Hill, one of our seniors this year, submitted this into an art project thing, and I loved this, and I wanted this to be my smile of the week this week, because of not just that Eli had done it, not just that it's of Mr. Jerry's infamous Jerry smile, but it also of what it says at the top, the mind of a servant. And Jerry, we love you and appreciate you so much. Eli, I appreciate you so much and your talent and the way you captured that. And we're willing to share that in a program at school, in an art show. And just smile of the week. Next Sunday is Senior Sunday. So proud of all of our seniors. I was very impressed with Olivia as not only is she graduating from high school, but she also graduated from Columbia State with her EMT license yesterday. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, that's impressive. I hope I don't need you anytime soon, but I know if I do, you're ready to go. And thank you for that. So it is Mother's Day, and I want you to know that I recognize this is a joyful occasion for most. But I also know it's also a hard day for some. And in that, I want you to know, as we study together, as we celebrate our moms and think about moms, I'm cognizant of every person in this room who have been through the loss of a mother, who have been through being mothers who perhaps have lost children, or being those who would love nothing more than to be a mother, and have not been able to do that. I want you to know we're mindful of that, and we love you, and we're thankful for the chance that we have to be with you today, and that you've honored us and be with your presence, even when it's difficult. And so, I got a little announcement myself. This was Easter Sunday. And Claire and Will came over, and as we were taking a family picture with our grandchildren, or my mother-in-law and her grandchildren, and one great-grandbaby, they were on the count of three. The next thing we know, this picture rolls out of Will's pocket. And I want you to look at Mia over here. And her face was absolutely my face and Natalie's face that you can't see off screen, because none of us knew at all that this was happening. And so I understand somewhat of the joys of this day in a special way. And so I say happy Mother's Day. This morning we continue our study in Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, we find just one of those beautiful passages in Scripture. And we're going to dig into it today, and specifically into this first part. What is the greatest commandment? And the reply came from Jesus' lips, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." I want to start by asking you to do something. I want to ask you to close your eyes. Not like the way you usually close them, Chet, like in sleep, but just to close them and think about something for me, okay? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about your mother. Not the Hallmark card version of her, but the real one. I want you to think about something she did for you that she never had to do. I want you to think about sacrifices that you only understood once you got older. I want you to think about a night that she stayed up late waiting for you or crying with you. Maybe it was a prayer that she prayed over you, or a moment that she showed up quietly without fanfare, and everything in you knew she is for me. Now you can open your eyes. And here's what I want you to notice about what just happened. In your mind, whatever image came to you, whatever memory surfaced, it had one of those defining qualities. It wasn't halfway. It wasn't conditional. It wasn't measured or even calculated. What you remembered was someone who was all in when it came to love. That's what a mother's love looks like at its best. It's wholehearted. It's sacrificial. It's relentless. And today on Mother's Day, I want to suggest to you that God has built that kind of love into a mother for a reason. Because He wants us to understand something. He wants us to understand something about the way He deserves for love to be returned to Him. This morning, as we look at this text, we think about what it means to love God with all of our heart, soul, and our mind. And what I think that we see in a mother's love is we see that picture in a visual, walking, live version of how mothers love children is a picture of truly how we are created to love God with all that we have. Now, when we go to the text this morning, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, came and asked a question to test him. Teacher," now to test him. You notice this is like the third test. I know some of you guys are getting ready and y'all have been doing tests and you've taken tests and you've got exams and your finals and all this. This is Jesus' third exam of the day, okay? And they come to him and they test him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Now, what I want to set us up with is this, is that this lawyer, he would have been an expert in the Jewish law, the law of Moses. He comes to Jesus with what he thinks, again, is that perfect question, that perfect trap. He knew there's 613 laws in the Jewish tradition. Picking which one was the greatest was certain to offend someone. And so what's he going to do? Jesus doesn't flinch. Jesus goes to the very heart of it. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're going to find in Deuteronomy chapter 6 what is referred to as the Hebrew Shema. It was a prayer that they would pray morning and evening. It was not just a heart statement of your life, but at the core of what we believe. Not just a statement of what you believe, but also what you desire to instill into the hearts of your children. Beginning in verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments I give to you are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you go down, as you lie down and as you get up." You see, what he's saying is that this is something that's to be woven through every fabric of your life. And he comes to this and he says, this is the greatest. This is the greatest of the commandments. Heart, soul, and mind. I want us to spend a little while unpacking those today about what it means to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, with literally all of me. And to realize there is no part of your life that God does not want to be a part of. So what's it look like to love God with all of our heart, to be all in with God with our heart? That idea, that Greek word, that cardia, we kind of bring that into our terminology for heart as well. In the ancient world, the heart was not just a seat of emotion. It was the center of the whole person. It was the place where your desires and your will and all of your motivation flowed out of. And it would be Jesus who would say to us when he says, love God with all of your heart. What is he saying? He's saying, with what you deeply, most deeply want, make that the Lord. What do you treasure most? What's your passion? What's at the core of your very being? Is it the love of God? Because I had no doubt when I saw my mother and I watched the way she took care of us as children, that at the core of her very being was a desire, well, it was her love for us. I mean, I knew that. She didn't buy this or that for herself so she could buy this for us. She didn't take time to read or do this or that for us so she could read to us. There were so many things that I knew at the very core of her life was a love for her children. And what I see in that for us is at the core of my very life ought to be that same kind of love for our God. Throughout the scriptures, the heart is pictured for us as something that's this thing we're to be guarded, to protect, to be filled, to be properly directed. I think about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it, or from it flows the springs of life. I think about that image when in Ezekiel, the prophet, in Ezekiel 36, 26, where he says, the Lord says that I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. How in Proverbs 3, 5, where Solomon is encouraging his son to live a wise life, and he says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. You see, God wants an all of our heart relationship, not just a part of our heart. We're reminded of the value of that when we see even in the selection of King David. There are all these great warrior-looking type sons, and he goes, no, none of them. It's the one that's heart is where it needs to be. You remember, do not look at the appearance or the height or the stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Loving God with all our heart. She demonstrates that. The question for us is, do I love God with that kind of heart? You know, it's a hard question when we kind of begin to evaluate and we kind of look at that and say, you know, if that's not a hard yes, and I look at my life and I think, when did that relationship with God for me become something to manage, or something that was kind of just optional rather than something you treasure? You know, I want to speak directly to some of us this morning and to think, you know, well, maybe I haven't walked away from God. I still come. I still pray sometimes. And I still call myself a Christian. But somewhere along the way, my relationship with God has shifted from something that I was passionate about to something that I just kind of maintain. Or maybe even something that's just kind of an option. I don't hunger for the Word. I kind of get through it just because I know I ought to. Or maybe I don't pray like I used to. And they feel more like a chore to check off. You know, when you feel something when we sing together, you don't just watch a clock and think, man, what's next? When am I getting out? You see, Jesus is calling us into something deeper that that is all of our hearts. And as he was trying to teach this crowd around him, he said, this is what relationship with God looks like. To the Pharisees, it's not just your forms and your checkbox and the things that you have set up as a system. No, this is you've got all the system, but God doesn't have all your heart. God wants all of our hearts. You know, a mom doesn't have to be reminded to love her child. That love just flows from her because of who that child is to her. And God's asking us today, is that how you love me? Not out of habit, not out of obligation, but because of who I am to you. You know, I don't know of a better picture of this than having watched Bethany and Stephan and their back and forth to Vanderbilt with baby Nova, who, by the way, is 4.7 pounds this week. And what a praise God moment that is. But to see, you know, that dedication, it's not I have to go to the hospital. That child's not ever even going to realize the time that this mom spent in and out of the hospital, on the road, back and forth, to be there in her presence, and the hours praying, and the hours sitting. But that mom knows. That mom knows. That is an all your heart kind of love. The second thing Jesus says is that we're to love him with all of our souls. All of our soul. The idea of life itself, the volition of life, the choice, the whole life commitment. It's who you are at your very core. You know, that idea, this is not just an emotion. This is life itself. And so when you think about loving God with all of your soul, I think this is kind of where it maybe gets a little costly for us. Because loving God with your heart might remain kind of mostly an interior thing. But loving God with our soul, that means the things you actually are living out. This is the priorities. This is your time. This is your decisions. This is your identity. This is what's everything about my life is now reorganized around this relationship. Paul knew what he was saying when he would write in Galatians 2:20 and say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. We've been singing that one with our little ones on Sunday nights and learning that at the soul level of love is really a life that has been handed over to him. And I think about that, and Larry shared with us two songs. And again, there's so many times when in the midst of worship, it will be that God's doing something that we hadn't talked about. And this was one of those days. Because two of the songs we sang back to back today, one was All in All, and then it was followed immediately by a song called Thank You, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And unless you were familiar with the author of those two songs, you would miss a very deep and rich truth about what it means to love God with all your soul. The writer of those two songs is a fellow by the name of Dennis Jernigan. And Dennis Jernigan, growing up, had grown up in a church setting. He had grown up loving the Lord, and yet he grew up battling with a same-sex attraction that would become part of his life. And it was something that he chose himself over his relationship to God for a long time, until a later time when he realized, this is not who God created and wants me to be. This is me serving myself and me not serving my God. And so he leaves that life behind. And in part of his giftedness, he becomes a songwriter. And as you sing the songs and you think about his life now, for all that you've done, I will thank you. Thank you for loving and setting me free. You are my strength when I'm weak. You're the treasure I seek. You, God, are my all in all. Not my sexuality, not desires that I may or may have. God, you are my all in all. And he has become one of the greatest Christian songwriters of our time. And I think he depicts for us what it means to love God with all of our soul. You know, I go back and I think about what Jesus would say in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, when he said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. You know, that's the image that, isn't it, that the psalmist would write about when he says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. It's a hard question to think about when you think, has God ever actually reorganized, has your relationship with God totally reorganized your life? Or has it just, you've given him a slot? You've kind of just fit him in somewhere. Because I think when we're just kind of trying to fit God in, rather than letting every part of our life be touched by that relationship with God, that every part of our life, every part of our day is thinking about, how can I glorify? How would this situation, am I going to respond in a certain way? Is this something that honors him? Every part of my life thirst and pants to please God. I think that's what it looks like to love God with all of our soul. It's not just a half-heartedness. It's not a thing where my career takes center stage and God gets my Sunday morning, or the family's the center stage and God just gets the bedtime prayer. It's everything. Love God with all your heart and with all of your soul. The third thing he says, though, is loving God with all of your mind. That faculty of our thoughts, the things that we concentrate on, that we dwell on, that core of our minds, our attention, dwelling on something, giving a sustained mental focus to something, loving God with all of your mind. I think about the idea in the first Psalm when he's saying, we think about, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates. He thinks about. His mind is centered in the way of God. I want to love God with all my mind. I go back and I think about how many scriptures, you know, kind of place that. It's not just I'm just going to check in on God. I'm going to kind of see what's happening here or there. But that's my default orientation. That's the one that my mind is constantly coming back to. Am I pleasing him with this? Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That mind is a battlefield, especially in our day with the devices in front of us, with the things that are on TV. Satan is all over the battlefield laying landmines for us. And God's saying, I want you to love me with all of your mind. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. See that set your mind? That's something we've got to be intentional about. It doesn't happen accidentally. It didn't with our moms. Mom didn't just go off and start thinking about something else. You think about a mom who, that first time your kids go off from home and your mind's just always kind of on them. Maybe they're driving for the first time by themselves. Or maybe they're going off to college somewhere and it could be 20 minutes down the road. It doesn't matter. Your mama's going to be thinking about you. She's going to be worried about you. Hey, you know, my girls went to college in Memphis, and my mom, the only news they got in Mississippi, I think, was the Memphis news. And that's not a good channel to watch for a worrying mother. And all she was, something would have to be a shooting. She called the girls, are y'all okay? Because they were always on her mind. They were always on her mind. That's a mom. She thinks about us in the car on the way to work. She prays over us in the early hours of the morning when the house is quiet. She sees something in the grocery store and thinks, oh, I think he'd really like that. That's a mom. Loving God with your mind means, I think, cultivating that habit of being in His presence, of thinking about what is it that pleases Him, what is it that's going to honor Him, of letting our Scripture, God's Word, occupy our minds daily. You know, mom doesn't forget her child because she gets busy. You know, she carried that child with her because she keeps loving. It's a treasure. And I think God's asking us today to think about, do you carry me with you in that same way? Am I in your thoughts? Or am I just kind of only on a schedule? You see, what I wanted to do today as we thought about this first part of the greatest command is just to think about that parallel of what do we learn from mom about what perhaps our love for God should look like. And to ask the question, are you all in? You know, as we close, you think about that love as an all-in kind of love. She loves us with her heart, with her soul, with her mind. And most of us, though I know not all of us, had mothers like that. And we can think about that mom, and we can be, man, we're drawn in with a flood of emotions over the experience that we had as children of that mom. But I want you to think about our Heavenly Father and His desire to have that love from us. To know, we know what it's like to be loved like that, but do you know what it's like to love God like that? That's really one of the beautiful things about the gospel, is when we think about the question of what does it look like to be all in, you don't have to go very far to realize that's exactly what Jesus modeled for us in going to the cross, in becoming our sacrifice, in becoming our Savior, in inviting us to be part of His family. Like Emily chose this week, just yesterday, to say, I want to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. I want to surrender my life and lay it at the foot of the cross. I'm ready to confess that I believe that is who Jesus is, and that is what He has done for me, and I want to be united with Him, buried with Him in baptism, raised up a new creation, committed to honoring God with all that I have. I want to be all in. Our moms have showed us what that looks like. Are we showing God what that looks like? Today, as we extend the invitation, I ask you to think about, perhaps it's the one that is here, thankful that you could be with your mom today. You know, there's no greater gift that you can give your mother than to be faithful to the Lord, than to honor God with your life. It's the greatest gift you can give a mom. The greatest concerns I think that moms ever have is, how are my children living? Are they living with the Lord? The greatest thing you can ever give your mom is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If there's any way we can encourage you today, if there's any way we can pray with you, maybe today's the day that you're ready to obey the gospel, put on Christ in baptism. The water's ready. There's no better opportunity than this morning. If there's any way we can encourage you today, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?